this scripture down. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. You can jot it down. It says, as a man or a woman thinketh in his heart or in her heart, so are they. Amen. That's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Why don't you tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I am a direct reflection of my thought life. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you something right now. Every single one of us is where we are because of how we think. Our mental perception, our mindset, our attitude towards ourselves, others, our circumstances, where we are in life, we are basically where we are based upon how we think. Somebody say, how we think. So it's very important that we have a godly mindset. So on Sunday, we've been teaching on the mind makeover, and we've been teaching that we have a superior mindset. Come on, somebody say, I have a superior mindset. Now, you know, in teaching this message right here, you have to elevate your mind past your background. Come on, somebody say, my background. You got to elevate your mind past your exposures, your experiences, amen. Your environment, the things that you were raised around, the people you were raised around. You have to elevate your mind past that. And you got to set your mind like flint. Somebody say like flint. Word flint means stone. You got to set your mind. You got to become hard-headed, amen. My mama used to tell me when I was a little boy, she said, a hard head make a soft butt. She said the other word. But in this case, being hard-headed is good. As a matter of fact, you can entitle this message tonight, I'm hard-headed. Amen. You got to become obstinate. You cannot go with the grain. You have to go against the grain. You understand what I'm saying? Because the world has a mindset or a way that it thinks. And that thing doesn't stop just because you and I come into the room. Just because we have faith doesn't mean that that system stops. The book of Psalm chapter 91 says this right here. It says, 1,000 will fall at my side and then 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked. That means that wickedness is going to be happening. Poverty is going to be happening. Sickness is going to be happening. Divorce is going to be happening. Are you catching what I'm saying? Death is going to be happening. All of these things will continue to happen. But the Bible said it won't come near us. So how do we prevent it from coming near us? The Bible says that we have to dwell in what? The secret place of the Most High God. And abide up under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow means the shade, the defense, and the protection of the Almighty God. In the Old Testament, the abiding was coming to the house of the Lord. Somebody say the house of the Lord. And it's still the same here now. But in the New Testament, you and I are the residence of God. We are the building of God. We are lively stones. Amen. We are being put together by the Holy Spirit to become what is called a habitation of the living God. So our New Testament abiding is according to John 15. We abide in the word, and the word abides in us. We will ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. Amen. And time is not a factor because God is not in time. Time is in God. So no matter how long it looks like it's taken for it to manifest for us, God knows what's best for us. Amen. Come on. All we need to know is that all the promises of God for you and I are yea and amen. How many of them? All the promises. Come on, say all the promises. All the promises. So that's the kind of mindset that we have to have. We have to elevate our mind past what the world is thinking to a superior mindset. Amen. An inferior mindset will only produce negative results, negative consequences all the time. Do you know that there's a law called the law of attraction? You attract to you who you are. You attract to you how you think. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. If you're always thinking negative, and all of a sudden you're thinking negative, you're feeling negative, you're talking negative, you're going to attract those kind of people to you. And then you wonder why you're surrounded with the kind of people that you're surrounded with. Amen. It's because of the way you're thinking. Somebody say, the way I'm thinking. Amen. Amen. Tell you, say, birds of a feather flock together. Misery loves comfort. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Won't be before you very long. We're just going to strengthen you tonight with the word of God in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want you to know I didn't come here to be the same. I came here to be changed tonight. And I am being changed right now in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. On the count of three, you there? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's read it all together on the count of three. One, two, three. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come on, say that with me. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Let's say it two more times. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. This scripture is literally saying that you and I have the same mindset that Jesus had when he walked this earth. We had the same thoughts, the same intents, the same purposes. That same mindset is in us. Amen. That means if we have the mindset that he had, we can get the results or the consequences that he had or that he got because we have that same mindset. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have the mind of Christ, and so do you. There are no limits in your life. I have an unlimited mindset. Now, why do I keep doing that? Because I'm teaching you how to talk to yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm teaching you how to talk to yourself. We talk to ourselves. Y'all know we do. We get along. When we get mad, we say, why is all this always happening to me? We're operating out of a mindset. You know, why does bad things happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is everybody always picking on me? Amen. How many ever been there? I know I have. I'll be honest and raise my hand. I've been there. Why does these things happen to me? And then the world gave us a good one. Why does bad things happen to good people? That's the law of attraction happening. We are projecting a negative mindset and it's attracting negativity to us. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Watch this. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this same attitude, this Amplified Bible, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. As I said Sunday, in the context of this verse, it's talking about the mindset that Jesus had, the mindset of humility, humbling himself, becoming a servant. But in the context of the verse, you can also use what is called the law of double reference, meaning that Jesus not only walked in a humble mind, or a mind of peace, he also walked in the mind of might and a mind of power and a mind of victory. So the same way you let the humble mind be in you, you let the victorious mindset be in you. The key word is let. Somebody say let. That word let means allow. That means you and I can disallow the mind of Christ to operate in us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, when it says, but ye have the mind of Christ. Somebody say the mind of Christ. I'm going to bless you tonight. The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So when it's talking about Christ, it's talking about the anointing. Somebody say the anointing. Now, you and I both know that the anointing is the Spirit of God. So I'm going to reverse it around and tell you that the mind of Christ is the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes upon a person, when you have intimacy with the Spirit of God, when you spend time talking with him and conversing with God, amen, whether it be by your prayer language, whether it be by meditating the Word of God, decreeing the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, whatever it might be, when you spend time doing that, his mindset comes upon you. His way of thinking comes upon you. Are you catching what I'm saying here? This is powerful because if you and I stay out of the presence of God, our mindset is upon us. And somebody make us mad, we ready to knock them upside the head. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, that ain't God. And that ain't the way he thinks. It was the Spirit of God that was on Jesus that caused him to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on, somebody say amen. It wasn't just because he was a good person, because Jesus himself said, no man is good. That's what Jesus said. So here's the point we're trying to make here. When you spend time in prayer and fellowshipping and intimacy with God, and you begin to develop that close, intimate walk with the Holy Spirit through worship. Somebody say worship. You know what I mean? When you in church, you got your hands raised and you're worshiping God and you're spending time and you're closing your eyes and you're shutting down the world and you're saying, God, I need you. I crave you. I desire you. Amen. The Spirit of God that is in you and upon you loves that. Come on, somebody say, God loves that. The Bible said that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means, the word inhabit means he makes it his home. Let me tell you something. You cannot be no closer to God than you are right now. But your awareness of his presence can become more closer. The more you spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, the more you spend time confessing the word and agreeing with him, no matter what your circumstance looks like, no matter what your situation looks like, you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. When you do that, what happens is that his mindset comes on you. Fear leaves you. Why? Because you realize that you've been in the presence of Almighty God. And when you have faced God, there's no problem with facing any man. I'm preaching something good tonight. I'm just trying to show you something. See, you don't have to worry about facing your circumstances when you have first faced God. So it's important. It's imperative that you spend quality time praying. Come on, somebody say praying. And spending time with God. So tell your neighbor, say, you got to allow the Spirit of God or the mind of God to operate through you. I'm going to give you a couple of things so you can see what would happen when you spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to challenge you tonight because we're talking about the mind of God. But in order to have the mind of God or allow the mind of God to operate through you, you're going to have to learn how to develop a close, intimate, personal relationship with God. I told two of the ministers today, I was praying today. And when I was praying in tongues today here in the front row, I began to almost start weeping in my inner man. I could feel it wasn't a depression, it was just a weeping. Because I don't know how long we've been asking people to come to intercessory prayer. And it was me and Jason in the room praying. Now this is a powerful statement right here. You know what I mean? Because nothing happens in life without a personal close relationship with God. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God without prayer. Come on, somebody say amen. And see, I'm just going to be a real pastor. The enemy will get you so busy doing everything. He got you doing everything. You just out there. There's a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. There's a singer named Larnell Harris. He had a song a long time ago. And he had came to Christian Life Center Church and he sang this song, I Miss My Time With You. The moments we shared together. He said, it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Too busy trying to serve me. He said, but how can you serve me if your spirit is empty? He said, there's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. See, God wants all of you. Come on, somebody say, God wants all of me. And see, we can preach all these powerful, anointed messages on who we are in Christ and we're the image of God. Amen. But you know what? More than just experiencing what God can do for us, more important than that, we need to experience who God is to us. Come on, tell the Lord, say, Lord, I want to know you. Just take a minute and just raise your hands, close your eyes and say, Lord, I want to know you. And the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Jesus' name. It's going to be a good thing tonight here, I'm telling you. It's going to be good. I feel the presence of God here. Isaiah chapter 11, amen. Look what it says here. Verse 1, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, there's many different translations or how people interpret this scripture. And I'm going to interpret the best way I know how to interpret it. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, when the Spirit of God comes upon me, this is the benefit of his presence in my life. I'm going to reveal to you the mind of Christ tonight. You ready? He said right here, he said, the Spirit of God will rest upon me. The Spirit of wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And understanding. Somebody say understanding. And the Spirit of counsel. Somebody say counsel. And the Spirit of might. Somebody say might. And the Spirit of knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. When the Spirit of God comes upon us and we have intimacy with him, we have his mind. Now watch this. His mind is always there. God's way of thinking, God's way of doing, God's way of responding, God's way of acting, God's ability to see things, God's way of hearing things is always there, always present. But you have to remember that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, watch this right here, verses 9 through 12, that God's way of doing things, God's way of seeing things cannot happen through the natural realm. You got to cross over from living in carnality into spirituality. Somebody say carnality into spirituality. You got to cross over from looking at what you see with the natural eyes and hearing what you hear with the natural ears. Amen. Because listen, you can't even love people properly if you're walking in carnality. It's impossible because you're always going to see and be aware of their flaws. Come on, somebody say amen. So you got to hide yourself in the presence of God where you can start seeing people the way God sees them. But when you don't spend time in the presence of God, you see people the way you see them. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. And God don't want you to see people the way you see them. That's why most marriages can't last, because there's no love in the relationship. God's kind of love. Come on, somebody say amen. It's only God's kind of love that will help you see that knucklehead the way God sees them. I'll help you see that antagonistic fussing wife the way God sees them. Amen. Somebody say amen. I ain't picking on nobody. I'm just trying to show you something. When you don't spend time in God's presence and you don't spend time allowing the love of God. Somebody say the love of God. Write this down. Romans 5 and 5. Write this down real quick. I'm trying to help you. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I want to walk in love. Neighbor, I want to walk in love. Neighbor, I'm going to walk in love. Neighbor, I'm going to walk in love. Amen. I'm going to walk in love. Now, Romans 5 and 5 says the love of God. Somebody say the love of God is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts. Word heart is the word heart is translated mind. The love of God is poured out in our hearts or our mind by who? The Holy Spirit. By who? That means without an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, there's no love being poured. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm trying to show you something. So if you ain't spending time getting to know him, you can't know his love. With him and in the package of knowing him is his love. His provision, his peace, every part of him comes with him. And it's funny how we are so conditioned to chase what he offers rather than him. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that God spared not his own son, but gave him up or delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? So the scripture is trying to show you and I that if we seek him, we get everything else. Come on, somebody say amen. So the more I spend time fellowshipping with God, intimacy with God, everything that God had comes with it. Can I get carnal with you for a minute? Amen. See, my wife tell me, she say, you know what, honey, I don't want what you got. I want you. Most women say that. I want to spend time with you. Amen. Come on. But guess what? When we start spending time together the way that we're supposed to spend time together, guess what? All the other little added things come with it. I'm trying to show you something. Just like the Bible says in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness and all these other things will be what? Added to you. I'm trying to get your mind on the Lord. Because guess what? His way of operating is in you already. Now let's break them down just a little bit. You learning something tonight? So the Bible says here, when the Spirit of God comes upon, it's talking about Jesus here, but the Spirit of God is upon you now. Somebody say, the Spirit of God is upon me. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you get wisdom. What is wisdom? I'm going to tell you what wisdom is. Wisdom is insight into the mysteries and the secrets and the knowledge of God. Wisdom is being able to see what others can't see. That's powerful, man. Amen. Did anybody eat turkey tonight or steak tonight? Amen. We're just trying to get it out. Take your neighbor, I got wisdom. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just dissect it just for a second. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn it right quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 16. When you get there, I'm going to show you something. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, The Spirit of God is in me. Come on, he's upon me. Therefore, I have wisdom. Now, look at this right here. The Apostle Paul is praying a prayer. Verse 16, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We should be praying this prayer for each other every single day. Somebody say every day. Every day. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, this scripture is showing you and I that there is a knowledge that is not of him. If you operate in carnality, you won't know this kind of knowledge. Come on, somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians. Now, let me just go down a little bit. No, matter of fact, just go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to move right through it right now. We're going to move through it like some prune juice. Let's move through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, notice he said, I didn't come with wisdom. He's not talking about God's wisdom. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and fear and in trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of what? Man's wisdom. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is man's wisdom. And you have to know the difference. You have to know the difference, because some people can give you good advice, but you don't want good advice, baby. You want God advice. You don't want a good idea. You want a God idea. See, the world is full of all kind of ideas. They sit around tables and they sit down and they have staff meetings just to come up with a good idea. But see, let me just tell you something right here. One word from God can revolutionize your whole life. One word from God. Tell your neighbor, say, all I need is one word. Look at this. He said, but in demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in what? The wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Now, first he tells you, you don't want this wisdom. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to say, listen, we speak a different kind of wisdom. Look at this right here. He said, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. The word naught means nothing. That means that if you operate in the wisdom of the world, somebody say, if I operate in the wisdom of this world, it's going to come to nothing. No matter how good it looks, it's going to come to nothing. Somebody say nothing. Somebody say nothing. That means it can look good just for a moment, but you'll start working the principle and pretty soon it's going to come to nothing. Take them and say dead end. There's a dead end on the road of worldly wisdom. Okay? So you got to move past that. How do you move past that? When the Spirit of God operates in your life, his wisdom comes on you. His wisdom will give you a detour around the roadblocks and the obstacles that the world is painting for you. His wisdom will. That means when everybody else don't know what to do, the wisdom of God will give you the what to do. Yeah. Amen. I'm teaching good. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. Now, let's go to the next one over here. Somebody say, I have the wisdom of God. The next one is understanding. Somebody say, understanding. Well, let me just give you a simple definition for understanding. Understanding means to stand under. Just remember that. Never forget that. The Bible tells us, look at Proverbs 3 and 3. Turn it right quick. Proverbs 3 and 3. We're going to help you out tonight. Proverbs 3 and 3. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I have the wisdom of God in me because I have the mind of Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart so that thou find favor and good what? Understanding in the sight of God and man. He's going to separate two different kind of understandings. When you have God's word in your heart, in your mind, you get his understanding. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your what? All your heart. Now, what does the word heart translate to be? Mind. Trust in the Lord with all your mind. That means put all your thinking on his word and lean not to your own what? That means that you can have worldly understanding or your understanding, or you can have godly understanding. See, this is where we have to be careful. And I said this Sunday, In Romans, I mean, Genesis chapter 12, maybe it was the Sunday before that, because, you know, we've been talking this message for a while. The first thing that God required from Abram is that he would leave his family's bloodline and leave that environment and all of those influences. The reason why, because with that bloodline comes a mindset. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your family. I'm telling you, you got to be bold enough to know when that is the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. So when it comes to your family or somebody telling you to do something that's contrary to God's word, you got to supersede that mindset, and you got to raise up another standard, another superior mindset over and above what that is, because you can't walk in the things of God if you're walking in the things of this world. I'm just telling you that right now. Amen. Somebody say amen. We love our families. I love my family. I really do. Amen. Some people think I don't love my family. I love my family. And I pray for my family. I pray for my bloodline. But my bloodline will never come before my God. Come on, somebody say amen. They'll never come before my God. I like the way Jesus said it. Somebody say Jesus said it. They told him, Jesus. They said, outside is your mother and your brothers. He said, my mother and my brothers are those that do the will of my Father. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a disciple. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. Amen. Here go another good one right here. When the Spirit of God comes upon me, somebody say that. I receive the spirit of counsel. Somebody say counsel. Now, let me just tell you this right here. You won't have to call me all the time to get counsel if you start spending time with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. All I'm going to tell you is what the Holy Spirit say. Now, somebody told me tonight, we was eating, they told me this tonight, and they was like, you're the pastor, that's your job, you got to go visit people. I'm like, that ain't my job to go visiting everybody. That's just not my job. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know I die before my time if I go visit all these folk? Because I be visiting everybody 365 days a year, all the time. There is no way possible, because my phone rings 75 times a day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's no way possible. That means you putting your trust in me. I'm not God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I know I look good, but I'm not God. Amen. That's right, baby. Glorify the Lord. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you something. You got to develop your own personal close relationship with the Spirit of God for yourself. You have to. It's important. If you don't, you'll always be blaming everybody in your life for your problems. But when you start spending time with the Spirit of God, his mind is going to come with that presence. And all of a sudden, he's going to start talking to you. It's way better for God to talk to you than the Claude to talk to you. Come on, somebody get a little hand clap. I'm trying to show you something. When he talks to you. Now, let's back it up. Don't come telling me God told you something if it ain't in the word, though. Well, Pastor, you said God will talk to me. Yeah, God will talk to you according to the word. Don't come telling me no foolishness. You know what my job is? My job is to confirm what he already spoke to you. Amen. Can I tell you what the Holy Ghost said to me today? Can I just be intimate with you and share what he said to me today? He said the church is becoming like the Catholicism movement. This is what he said to me. We're raising people up to put their trust in one man. I'm not talking about Jesus either. Because in Catholicism, they would not give people their own, the common person, God's word. You had to get God's word through a man. Now, I'm not telling you to dishonor me, because I'm not going to like that. I might elbow you or something like that. I'm just joking. Amen. I'm not telling you to dishonor me. What I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to point you to the one that made me what I am. I don't want you putting your trust in me. I want you to learn how to get on your knees for yourself and cry out to the living God. I want you to know how to get in that word for yourself and learn how to meditate that word and confess that word. That way, when you get the faith fight, you got some faith on the inside of you that you can fight that enemy back all by yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, and I'm convinced that sometimes we keep bailing people out of problems that God wants them to ride a little bit for a while. I'm convinced. See, the Holy Ghost don't want us to bail everybody out of problems, because maybe that's the tool that God is going to use to help them construct and build their faith. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm trying to help you tonight. So you got to know him for yourself. He is the spirit of counsel. The Bible said when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he is called the Comforter. Somebody say the Comforter. The word Comforter is translated six ways: Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. God is Almighty. He is all that you need. Come on, somebody. He's all that in a bag of five chips. Amen. Whatever you want to call it. Amen. God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Just say that a few times. He's more than enough. Amen. See, Jesus did things that might have seemed mean to people. You know what I mean? He told Peter to get out the boat and walk on the water. He could be pulling you out of your boat, your comfortability. I don't know how to say the word. You know what the word is. Your comfortability. Is that how you say it? Comfort zone. That's better, huh? Amen. I read, but some words just don't come out right. He might be trying to pull you out of your comfort zone. And somebody run up and rescue you. And the Spirit of God is saying, man, I'm working on them. Come on, somebody say amen. See, he's the Spirit of counsel. Somebody say counsel. He wants to lead us and guide us and direct us in the truth. Amen. That's why sometimes parents could be dangerous. Because we love our kids so much that we always, amen, do God's job. Are you catching what I'm saying? Praise God. Well, our job, we got to step back and allow the Spirit of God to lead them. Teach them and direct them. Amen. Are you catching what I'm saying? This is powerful. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, somebody say, I got the Spirit of counsel in my life. I'm almost done, y'all. Y'all give me the 8:30. Y'all got me on the time clock here? Amen. Praise God. The Spirit of counsel. Let's look at this next one. Somebody say, when the Spirit of God comes upon me, I have the Spirit of might. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to show you something. No, turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and then Ephesians chapter 6. Somebody say might. You know what the word might means? The word might, in translated in the New Testament, is the ischus power of God. Listen, the word ischus in the Greek means the super ability of God. It paints a picture of a muscle-bounded man without limits. This is the kind of ability that you have. You are not limited. You could be all by yourself in your home with your lights cut off, your gas cut off. I'm trying to show something to you. With everything in the world against you, and all you need is a little time in God's presence. I'm showing you something here. God will take you from the pit and put you in the palace. If you learn how to operate in wisdom and navigate a personal, close, intimate relationship with him, learn how to see what he sees and hear what he hears and love what he loves. Amen. When you start doing that and you start growing on the inside, somebody say inside. You start growing on the inside. How do you grow on the inside? The more, watch this, I'm going to tell you something powerful. It's going to be so powerful. Tell you, say so powerful. The more you put the word in you, the more you put the word in you. Come on, put the word in you. Do this. The more you put the word in you, eventually the word going to start talking to you. That's how the Spirit of God leads you. He'll never lead you. You see, some people say, I prayed and I didn't hear nothing. You know why? Because you put no word in you. There's no way that you're going to pray to a loving Father and you have spent time in fellowship with him depositing his word in you and his word don't pop up to you. Hey, he'll pop up whatever translation you want. Put it in you, the Spirit of God. You want me to show it to you? I'm going to show it to you. Can I show it to you for a minute? What scripture did I tell you? Go to Ephesians 3. Just hold your finger right there, and I want you to go to St. John. St. John, hold your finger at Ephesians 3. I'm trying to show you something. See, some people think that God ain't talking. Oh, he's talking, all right. The question is, have we developed the ear to hear? That's why Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear. That means you can not have an ear to hear. Your ear is developed. Faith cometh by and hearing by. A lot of time we see that faith come by hearing the word, but we don't see that hearing come by the word. I'm trying to show you something tonight. See, the more you get the word in you, your ear is developed. And then that faith comes out of that. Tell your neighbor, say, you got some big ears. Look like satellite dishes. See, you want some 20-inch rims on the side of your head in the spirit realm because you want to be able to hear from God. My God. Amen. Let me find my scripture right quick. Is that all right? Can I do that? St. John chapter 16. You ready? Let's look at verse 12. He said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Watch this. Howbeit when he, somebody say he, Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person who can be grieved. Somebody say he can be grieved. You can quench his fire in your life. You can make him jealous, the Bible says in James chapter 4. He is a person. Somebody say he is a person. Now watch this right here. It says, howbeit when he, the spirit of what? He's not the spirit of error. Is come. He will what? Guide you into all truth. See, you got to take these things and make that promise for yourself. Get up and say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you lead me and guide me into what? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall what? Hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This is powerful. 14. That means the Spirit of God will show you a car accident before it happens. The Spirit of God will show you that you're spending time with the wrong associations, and they're going to end up wrong before it happens. He'll give you a check in your spirit before you make the decision. But if you haven't developed the ear to hear, guess what? You ignore the check. This is good teaching tonight, somebody. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm just trying to point you to Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something, a powerful statement. The reason why the Spirit of God said that to me about the Catholicism movement, the whole thing, is because this is what people do. People come to church, amen, because back then, a man could absolve them of their sins. A man could. Minister Julie gave me a tape, and you can get all your sins absolved for $12. And today, people come to church having no personal, intimate, close relationship with God the Father and think that they're going to make it to heaven just because they sat on the pew and gave their tithe. I'm telling you something right here. Hear what I'm saying? This is not me getting mad at nobody. I want to point you to him who saved me. And you are pointed to him. All of us have that close, intimate person. You know what should happen? Just because I'm the pastor don't mean I should know the Bible more than everybody. It should come to a place when somebody gets sick, they can call up Sister Deb and say, Sister Deb, I need you to agree with me. And she whipped the word out like a good apostle and pull it out and say, the word of God says in Isaiah 53:5 that you are healed with the stripes of Jesus. Now, go get you some oil, slap it on your forehead, and let's confess the word. Now, I know Sister Deb is already like that, but I'm saying this is how all of us has to be. Amen. It's good teaching, Pastor Claude. Watch this right here. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall what? He will show it unto you. Watch this. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me again. A little while and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. Listen what the word of God is telling you here. Everything that belonged to Jesus, the Holy Ghost want to show it to you. He want to teach it to you. He want to reveal it to you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Look at this right here. Turn to 1 John. Not St. John. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I know him. I know his ways. He teaches me every day. He's showing me things. My God, this is powerful. Look at chapter 2, verse 27. On the count of three, I want you to read it with me. 1, 2, 3. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Stop right there. Are you hearing what this is saying here? Now, he's not telling you to disrespect fivefold ministry. He's just telling you, you got the same stuff your pastor got. You got the exact stuff that the apostles got, the prophets got. You got the same stuff. We just got a different job description. Are you understanding that right there? Watch this right here. You don't need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of what? How many things? I'm gonna tell you something. God is concerned about every intricate detail of your life. He's concerned about your marriage. He's concerned about your kids, your children. He's concerned about your finances. And guess what? That spirit of counsel that is on you, that spirit of might that is on you, wants to teach you concerning all those areas. He's teaching me. There's areas that he's correcting me and shifting me. And if more I put the word in me and I get an ear to hear, I can hear his voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The more I get an ear to hear, I can hear his voice concerning those individual areas. Watch this. I'm just going to help you out. If you want to develop an ear to hear him in the financial realm, study the word of God concerning finances. And guess what happened? You'll develop an ear to hear. If you want to develop an ear to hear concerning marriage, the relationship between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, not Adam and Steve. Come on. Amen. But marriage, the institution of marriage, I don't care if it's your family or your grandma, your aunt, all of them. Amen. It's an abomination. Listen, relationship between a man and a woman. Amen. Can I be real? All you got to do is look at the parts and know that something ain't right if you try to put two men together. It's quiet in here tonight. If you get a puzzle and you start putting it together, if the piece don't fit, it just don't fit. Amen. You put two women together, the puzzle just don't fit. I don't care what you make to try to make it fit, it don't fit. Come on, somebody say amen. Sometimes we got to be blunt to people because people get it all confused. Well, I was born this way. Or they would see, you know what the problem is? The love of God ain't in your heart. See, when God's love get in your heart, he'll flush out all that carnal thinking and all that worldly wisdom and that way of thinking. And you'll stop seeing things the way you see them. And you'll start seeing things the way God sees them. Amen. Praise God. But he'll teach you concerning, because you and I both know that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And if you are a man and you in a relationship with one of these women, don't no women throw no bricks at me. But you're in a relationship with one of these women, they ain't going to think the way you think. And a man ain't going to think the way a woman thinks. Think about a newspaper. Put a newspaper in front of your mind right now. Men are headliners. 5 people died today. Women are detailers. So when you come home from work, she say, what happened? You said, 5 people died today. But she wants you to read the whole story to her. Flip over 3 other pages and read the whole. That story is connected to another story. Amen. What'd you do today? I went to church. Was she getting mad? What you mad at? I told you what I did. I went to church. Well, she want to know that you went to church. You talked to the pastor. You shook his hand. Amen. What color suit the pastor had on? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It take the Holy Ghost to teach you that about one of these women. Amen. Y'all learning something tonight? But see, if you don't spend time with the Spirit of God, you're going to just think, you know, it's funny how you see guys and they just think they're going to run women. I tell men all the time, I don't run my wife. If you know my wife, you know I don't run my wife. Amen. You better learn that woman. You better learn her. Amen. But women got to learn men too, because men are more logical. Men are more blunt. Men are more, you know what I mean? Men are more like, you know, we don't wear our feelings on our shoulders. We don't need to sit around and talk about our emotions all day long. We want to hunt a rabbit, kill a pig or something. That's what we want to do. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm just trying to help y'all out tonight. We want to hunt something. Amen. Women, let pastors teach you. Men are hunters. Amen. How you think we got y'all? And see, if you don't spend time, watch this. If you don't spend time with the Holy Ghost, you'll try to make that man like you. You want him to sit down and cross his legs and talk all feminine. And, how are you, baby? I love you. and we can hold each other. No, that ain't how men are. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen, unless there's something wrong with them. Amen. Praise God. Honey, don't get me in trouble tonight. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in trouble, baby. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Amen. Like Chris Tucker said, amen. I'm just playing around. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? But if you don't spend time with the Spirit of God, you're going to be trying to make that woman like you want her to be. Come on, somebody say puppet master. See, if you are not controlled by the Holy Ghost, you'll try to control everybody. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm done right now. Ephesians 3. Turn it right quick. I'm finishing. Can I just finish it off, y'all? I promise, 2 minutes, I'll be done. I just want to help you. That's all I want to do. I want to help you. You gotta live 3-4 more days letting the world talk to you all week long. And I just want to deposit something in you. Amen. That in and out church stuff don't work. People sitting in church, they're going in and out, and they're having, you know, a show. We need some disciples. Come on, somebody say amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at what it says here. Amen. For this cause, verse 14. This cause I bow my knees unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We talking about something supernatural, something that supersedes the world and all of its ability to provide for you. We talking about the riches of his glory. Watch this. To be strengthened with what? With might. We talking about the spirit of might. Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So you can lift weights all day long, but if you don't lift weights in the spirit realm, you're just still weak. Amen. See, but when you spend time with the Spirit of God and you start developing your inner man in the presence of God and gaining the ear to hear, all of a sudden you get strong in the Lord. Amen. Watch this. Watch the outcome of it right here. It says here that Christ may dwell in your heart. What does the word Christ mean? The anointing. You know the same anointing that teaches you? You know the same anointing, the mind of the anointing? That thing is strengthened. The Holy Ghost is strengthened. May dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? May be able to comprehend or apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with what? Now, it did not say 20% of the fullness. Did not say 50% of the fullness. Did not say 75% of the fullness. It said all the fullness. Tell your neighbor, said, neighbor, I have the ability to be strengthened with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. My bad. Now unto him that is able, watch this. This is what happened when this mindset come on you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ask. He said, Lord, can I have a popsicle? And he going to give you the whole freezer section. When we go through this process, I'm trying to show you something. When you get strengthened with might by your spirit, I'm just trying to teach you how to be a disciple. Amen. The more you spend time with him and you build your inner man up and you develop your ear to hear, and that love of God is poured out inside your heart, that fullness gets on you. When that fullness gets on you, you start confessing and calling things to be not and asking for things. And God said, you know what? I'm not even going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you above it and beyond it. Exceedingly and abundantly above what you can ask or think. Watch this. According to the power that worketh in us. The word worketh is the Greek word energio. That means God's power will energize you and it'll start working in you so you can be prepared or meet or ready or able to receive that which he has for you. Come on, somebody say amen to this. What's the last one? Ephesians 6. Turn there. We're going to be done here. Ephesians 6. Look at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the kurios. Word Lord, kurios. You know what that means? Supreme in authority. Now, just for a minute, I want you to say something with me. Say, you know what? God is almighty. He's bigger than all my circumstances. See, that's what this word Lord means. He's supreme in authority. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. in the power of his might. This word might translated here is the Greek word kratos. Somebody say kratos. It's translated different places. But kratos means the indomitable, irresistible, dead-raising power of God. He's telling you to be strong in the kurios and in the power of his might. Not your might, his might. Not my might, his might. Not your ability, but his ability. How do you get that? When you, matter of fact, just jump on down to verse 17. We'll stop right there. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Praying how often? Praying how often? Praying how often? That means always being in a mindset of prayer and a readiness to pray. Amen. Because you never know when the opportunity will be presented to you for you to pray. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. The way you're going to build yourself up tonight, you can close your Bible, is through praying, spending time in fellowship with God. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Get a little hand clap. You learned something tonight? Did you learn something tonight? Amen. You got marriage 101, relationship with God 101. I'm just trying to help you. I'm telling you, I promise you, the more you spend time in the presence of the Lord, what's going to happen is that those things that's just antagonizing you and bothering you and messing with your mind and messing with your thoughts, all that stuff going to fall off. It's going to fall off. Doesn't mean that the enemy ain't going to come at you again and try to tempt you or try to attack you. That's his job. He's the tempter. He's the accuser of the brethren. You're going to have battles with sin, flesh, and the devil all the days of your life. But know this right here. If you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, amen, what's going to happen is that you're going to withstand every trial and every temptation of the enemy. Amen. Ain't that all right? It don't even matter what he throw up against you. You're going to be a winner. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a winner in Jesus' mighty name. Let's make a confession of faith.